Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you guys, with working with couples and everything, one of the biggest things that I've struggled with or get hit with is I'm 31, I live in Utah County, and I'm not married. Two of my best friends are the same age as me, and they moved to New Orleans and Boston, and it's whole different.
Yeah.
Like, their 30s, no one cares if they're married or not. Here, it's like, I'm the Antichrist because I'm not married.
Okay.
And so what, I guess, is it a Utah thing?
I think it's a Utah thing.
Or what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a personal thing first, right? I guess it's cultural, yeah, because you're here. Everybody gets married when they're young. Like, we got married when we were 23. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, that's
for
21. Had a kid when we were 23.
Okay.
So, for perspective, that puts it into perspective for everybody, right?
I think, though, like, you were saying you have friends in different states that have gone in. It's not really a big deal. Like, my sister's 25 here, and she's not married, and she's already getting the heat of, well, why are you not married? I have a brother that's 28. Same thing. He's not married. And I think times are just kind of changing. I think people are getting, you know, they're not taking marriages lightly. They want to be in relationships. They want to make sure they're with the right person. But with that, I also think people have kind of gotten scared and they, you know, aren't committing and they're finding any little reason to bail on a relationship before they actually like, are like, no, let's stick it out. I love this person. Let's grow together. Let's do this. And so I think it's interesting because I think Utah brings the culture side into it where it's like, you know, we're kind of taught that you should be married young and, you know, you're supposed to have kids and like all these things at a really young age. And so I think there's beauty in both. Like the only story we know is getting married young and having kids. And then, you know, now we're in our 30s and we have four kids and life is crazy. But I see the beauty also in starting life, you know, in your 30s or, you know, in a relationship in your 30s or even your 40s where you kind of have things figured out a little bit more.
My personal biggest fear is, a bunch of my friends, we all got off our missions.
Yeah.
They all got married right away.
Yeah.
And all of them are now either divorced, single dads. And I don't know if it's because they just rushed into the first relationship possible.
Yeah.
But I wrote a girl my whole mission. I was like, this is the one, everything. She did the whole, when I got home, oh, I found someone else. Mm-hmm. And then my struggle has been, don't judge me. I've dated, he knows this. I've always dated older women.
Yeah.
So my ex is 59 this year. Well, one of them. Great relationship, lots of fun.
Okay.
But it was the balancing act of she can't have kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her kids, my potential stepkids, are my same age.
Okay.
Hang out with them. Great friendship. And so I got to the point where I was like, I want to get married. My parents were against it, so I ended up ending it. But I'm at the point where I just can't pull the trigger. Like my ex that I just broke up with, it was a few red flags. I'm super social. I love social media, everything. She hated social media. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this can never work.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'd be at like an event and she either would have to hang on to my arm or just not talk to anybody.
Okay.
And I'm like, my job is to connect. I need someone who can connect.
Okay.
And so I ended up ending it. But we've been on and off for 8 years.
Yeah.
And so since we got back from Moab, we've been talking. She's worked on the red flags and everything.
Yeah.
But it's that fear of jumping back into it because this will be year 9 and trying again. So I guess for the two of you, what advice would you say for people diving into relationships? How do you dive into it without, I guess, the fear?
I think the fear is the coolest part of it.
Okay.
Is that letting that fear kind of be that catalyst to propel you forward in the relationship. So you have all these fears with her and in those circumstances is like being able to have those conversations with her of, hey, I'm really scared about this certain thing in our relationship, right? Like it worries me that, you know, you are so connected to me when we go to these events or, you know, you don't let me kind of be social or whatever it is that you're fearing, right? Letting that propel those conversations and letting that help you connect on an even a deeper level. I mean, I know that's been the case for us.
For sure. But I think it goes even a step further than that too, because there's a reason that you're with this person. What is it?
We just click. I don't know
how
other than our energies connect.
Yeah.
I think if you go back to like the very beginning of your guys' relationship, Like when you first met her, what was it about her that has made you stay in a relationship for almost 9 years?
Yeah.
Even though it's been on and off, what's the beginning? Like, what's your foundation?
I guess our habits. She likes to work out. She's healthy. That clicked with me. I mean, when we first started going on dates, I was living in Orem. She was up in Logan.
Okay.
So I was driving 2 hours both ways to go on dates and everything. And just something about it. I don't know. See, and I don't know what it is. We ended things for about, we took a 2-year break, and I was flying to Miami, and they said, hey, our Wi-Fi is not going to work. So I literally texted her right before we took off and said, hey, I don't know why, but I'm still in love with you. I want to reconnect. And then I had no Wi-Fi. And so I was like sweating the whole time. And like, as soon as we landed, I'm like, and she didn't reply. And I'm like, oh. And then the next morning I woke up to a text and she had replied. And we went from not talking at all in 2 years to that whole Miami trip. It was like 3 or 4 phone calls a day, FaceTime every night. So we do reconnect. It's like instant, like there was never a break.
Okay.
There's never any issues. But it just, it always goes back to like a red flag or an issue, and then we break it off.
Yeah, which happens in every relationship, right? So two things. You said, I don't know why, but I'm always drawn to her. And this is where we want to stop you really quick and be like, you know why. Because we want everybody to step into their authenticity and understand that their intuition is actually the driving force to love, right? Like, I actually do know why I'm with this person, and it's because we click, like you say, on these three things, whatever it is, right? And I actually love that about myself, and I love that about her. That brings us together. So when you say, I don't know, I'm gonna pause you right there, because you know why you're with this woman,
okay?
Right?
Yeah.
And we could go into this, and I could make you answer, right? But you already know, it's clicking in your head. You know why you're with this person, right?
Okay.
So all these red flags that come up on a daily basis, because it's daily, right? When you get in a relationship, things get very, very difficult, even in small conversations. Like you say, I need to connect and I need somebody that's going to help me do that, right? And she holds my arm and doesn't really outsource and doesn't really communicate with other people, but I do that, right? So I'm gonna take a step back and I'm actually gonna look at her and I'm gonna say, what can I learn from you and what can I teach you? Because now you actually get to learn from somebody that isn't exactly you. Because if you were in a relationship with somebody that acted just like Jeff, dude, that would be a boring relationship, right?
Yeah.
That'd be a boring relationship, right? Or you guys would have ego conversations, you'd be like this every single day, right?
That's true.
There wouldn't be those things that click. Like, yeah, we can work out together, we can do these things together, but at the same time, like, what are you teaching me and what can I teach you, right? So these red flags that you're running into, kind of like what Lauren said, those are the things that we want to push into rather than run away from, because every relationship that you meet, or everybody that you meet, or a relationship that you get into, you're going to have things that you butt heads against, right? And so yours is, she's not social, but what is she?
That's a good question. I mean, she's outgoing around the right people.
But even if she wasn't outgoing, right? What does she provide to you in your relationship?
Safety.
Mm.
I would say safety.
Yeah.
A space where I can, if I'm stressed all day and I just need to disconnect,
right,
whatever it is, that's my safety blanket.
It's home, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would almost challenge, you say like you disconnect, right? When like things are stressful and you need somewhere to disconnect, she's who you disconnect with, right? I would almost say she's probably who you connect most with and who helps you feel most connected to yourself. And so really all the outside stuff is what you're disconnecting with. And she's really who helps you brings you back to center, brings you grounded, like makes you grounded, like kind of brings you together. And it is safety. Like we just posted a reel on Instagram the other day and I was telling Matt, I'm like, you really are my safe space. Like when life is crazy and when things are loud and like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, can we really handle this? Like, can I handle this? Am I okay? It's like your touch or just being around you really is so grounding to me. It really is like safety. It makes me feel like everything's going to be okay. Like everything could blow up around us. And as long as we're together and we're good, like everything's fine. And so I know that feeling where it's like, wait, it's safety. It's love. It's this like, you know, I can be myself around this person and they love me unconditionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me ask the two of you, we'll take a break from me and we'll dive in here real quick.
Yes.
How do you guys balance? Because I'm assuming, because you guys work with couples, people probably assume that your relationship is perfect.
Sure.
Sure.
But no.
But no. So how do you balance that when you're working with other couples, but then you guys have your own stuff that you deal with? Is that something that you're comfortable, you know, to share with the world? Yeah. Or do you try and, I guess, put on a persona that, hey, we're perfect, and then, you know, at home, that's where you deal with everything?
That's a cool question.
That is a really cool question.
The thing is that the only reason that we do this is because we went through our own shit, right? And that's what our message is now, right? So to answer your question, everything that we're going through, let's say I have a coaching call tonight, right? But Lauren and I got in a fight today. I guarantee that that couple that we're coaching tonight is going through something similar, and we are just one step ahead of them.
Okay.
Right? And having addressed that with ourselves and within our relationship, and now we can help somebody else do it as well, right? So the second that you start to see us acting perfect, just understand that, like, it's not reality. And we love to share our most authentic selves, because as we've stepped into just telling the truth and just being us, that's when people have gravitated towards us, right? So yeah, to put out this, like, we're a perfect couple, that's not it. I actually heard that, like, anybody that says that their relationship coaches are, like, in a good relationship, right, behind the scenes, really what it is, right? Or what is it? Sorry, I'm mixing my words. Because a lot of the times those people are just, it's a facade, right? And they're putting up this fake act. But truthfully, it's just, we're going through things at the same time as other people. And universally, like, if we want to talk about the universe, it's going to gravitate those people towards us so we can help them through their own things as well. So yeah, we don't hide behind stuff. So.
Yeah. it's always so funny to see how our clients go through similar things that we have gone through or that we will go through. So it's funny, no matter what happens in the week, whenever we have a call, it's like, something during that call gets brought up where we're like, we literally just dealt with this, or we had just had this yeah. fight or whatever. And that's what relationships are. And whether it's with each other or it's like with our families or with coworkers or, you know, with friends or whatever it is, we see those things in every single relationship that we have. And so it's kind of nice just because we have like a little toolbox now. It's not like everything's fixed and all of a sudden like life is sunshine and rainbows. It's like, no, we just have the tools now to kind of work through it and, you know, propel ourselves forward in those conversations rather than, you know, give each other the silent treatment and be like, we're getting divorced and I don't want to be with you and all those kind of things. So okay. It's fun though.
And I think that that's a big key for a lot of relationships too, is because you referenced like when things get hard, people tend to distance and run away. And I think that that's one big, a huge attribute that our relationship has, is that when things get hard, we let it be hard and we'll fight and we'll push through it. And then the second that we both like come to a self-realization of what happened in that fight, we're just like, oh, wow, we needed that. And it was worth going through it to understand self and then understand self through your relationship, because we believe that relationships provide the most beautiful mirror okay. for self. And so anything that I need to heal from is going to get pulled out through the things that Lauren and I go through. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
makes a lot of sense.
How do you two, so I work with a human behavior specialist, worked with him for the past year.
Yeah.
And he works with some other clients who go through the craziest things
yeah.
and experiences. How do you guys take your clients that you work with and some of the hard stuff that you work them through and not take that home?
Mm. You want to go first?
No, you can answer that one.
Oh, okay, cool. that's interesting that you asked that, because we, our very first client was a nurse practitioner. She was a psychiatrist, right? And so she takes therapeutic clients. And I'm trained in Reiki healing as well. And in Reiki, it's the same thing. It's like you have to clear your energy so you can help us, other people's energy, and not let it affect you, right? But it's been interesting that as I have stepped into this role of coaching, that even, because I go through a range of emotions on a daily basis. Like I'll be mad, sad, depressed, happy, enlightened, everything, right?
I can't picture you mad.
Interesting.
He gets mad.
Yeah, so I'll go through a range of emotions, right? And I just know that that is going to help me. At the end of the day, when I have let's say I'm pissed off in my family life, in my work life, whatever it is, and I have a conversation with a client and I help them through their own stuff, I'm actually helping myself as well. So I get to show up as my most genuine self in those conversations and pull out the real Matt that's there to help the other person while they go through their own thing as well. So you talk about not taking on all of this heavy energy. It actually like energizes me to help other people see what's going on for themselves.
I think the other thing that's cool with that question is a lot of times too, just like with our fights or anything that we go through, we kind of see in our clients as well. It's the same thing with those kind of like, you know, not taking on their energy or not taking on what's going on with them. A lot of our clients deal with a lot of the same stuff we've gone through. And so, and even some things that we haven't gone through, like we've had clients that have dealt with, you know, like death of children or, infidelity, like, you know, and all of that. And it's interesting to see what it starts to bring up between both of us. Do you know what I mean? Like whether that's insecurities or fears or, you know, anger, whatever that is. And we get to kind of sit and get really honest with ourselves. And so not necessarily taking it on, but it will start to bring things up in us that we get to question big time of like, do we really believe that? Is that, you know, is that real in our world? What would that look like if that happened? I know for me, like at the very beginning of coaching, it was really hard to listen to a lot of the stories of like, you know, guys cheating on their wives. Because for me, for a really long time, that was a really, really, really big fear of mine was to have Matt cheat on me. And so it was so hard to sit and listen and not just like ache and feel so bad for this other person that was going through it and not take that on and be like, I want to fix you. I tell Matt this all the time, especially with our clients that we have. I want to like give them all the love in the world when it comes to like mommy issues. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm a mom. I don't know what it is. But the second we dive into mommy issues, which everybody has, I'm always like, okay, let me make you your favorite treat. Like, what do you need? Like, you know, what do you need? And it's so hard to not take that on. And I think it's just because we go through this process with these people and we really genuinely get such like a love and it's like an unconditional love of just like, we see you for exactly who you are and like the incredible person you are. And we just are trying so bad to like mirror that reflection to them of like, you don't have to change anything. You're perfect exactly as you are. We just want you to feel that love. And so I struggle with that. It's still something I'm working on of not being like, let me bake you cookies and give you a big hug because you're so sad about whatever's going on in your world. So I guess that's a way I kind of take on their energy, yeah. But it's fun to look at. It's fun to have them kind of pull those things out in us. It really is, like Matt said, energizing.
So it's really cool. I want to dive a little deeper because one of the things you said, your biggest fear was for Matt to cheat on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I want to go here. What was your biggest fear going into this relationship?
Ooh. I actually think that I just barely found it and we had to address it and I didn't know what was happening, right? Because we jumped in very young. And so not that we didn't know what we were doing, but we didn't really know what a sophisticated relationship was. And now knowing where we went, I look back and I truthfully am so grateful for this journey that we've been on and like pulling everything out for ourselves, because my biggest fear unknowingly was being the smallest version of myself so she could be the biggest version of herself, right? And so for the first 8 years of our relationship, unknowingly, I literally took a back seat in the relationship. And I played very, very small, but it was because she was so good at playing big, right? And that was something that I needed to learn. But when I actually would like became conscious enough to see that, it was so scary to have to address it with her and with myself, because I was like, holy crap, now I have to play a bigger role,
yeah.
Right? And she's gonna have to look at herself and saying, oh wow, this is what I've done.
Yeah.
And do I want to play smaller or are we just going to grow together? Yeah. Right. And so going into it, I think that there wasn't a lot of fear, but it just because I wasn't very conscious. And so it even goes back to the very beginning of our conversation. When you have these young people that are getting married, they're getting married a lot for the physical attraction rather than the actual connection of a relationship. Right. That was me.
Yeah.
Like, let's have sex. Let's have kids. Right. That's what I want right now. So let's do it. Right. And then we learned throughout this whole journey that like, truthfully, there's a lot of things that you are going to help me with and I'm going to help you with. So, hopefully that answered your question. There wasn't a lot of fear going in my relationship other than the fact that I had to learn that throughout it.
Okay.
So, but I think that's a big thing even for you, because you don't want to get in a relationship and then have to play small because somebody else doesn't want to be, go on the same journey as you,
yeah.
Right? Like, you want somebody that you're getting in, and that's what we coach on now, is that we want two beautiful human beings going on their own trajectory, but then choosing each other every single day, right? Rather than one playing a role and then the other one playing a different role just to make each other happy. That's not what we want. We want a conscious relationship where, truthfully, I'm building my world, you're building yours, but we choose each other.
With you guys working with couples,
yeah.
How do you work with, or how do you deal with non-traditional couples?
What do you mean?
What do you mean by
that? So let's say same-sex couples.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's say a couple that's in, not a couple, a throuple.
Okay.
Are these things that people have come to you to work with, or you haven't worked with before?
We haven't had same-sex, but we've had people that have had open relationships and things like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is about, I'll tell them. Relationships are to everything, right? And so we can have an intimate relationship, whether it's same sex, whether it's however it is, however you want to put it, but our relationship and the way that we coin ourselves as relationship coaches is your relationship to the world, right? Like friends, coworkers, family, intimate relationships, the way that you view the world, the way that you view God, whatever relationships are going to pull out of you, that's what we want to coach you through, right?
Interesting. Okay.
And so, because you, as innately as humans, we have to have a relationship with something to learn. Right. If we self-isolate, we won't learn. Right. And so if we're constantly like staying single, whatever it is. Right. And we're not committing to something, the commitment to something is actually going to pull out everything for us. Right. Or if we just sit at home on the couch and we watch TV. Right. We have not a relationship with anybody, let alone ourselves. And I think that's the most important one. And so no matter what kind of relationship comes along, it's always with the individual first so they can understand self, because this relationship to you is the most important one that we'll ever talk about. And then whoever you choose as a partner, we don't care, because that's up to you, right? We just want you to understand that partner is gonna show you parts of yourself that you won't learn without them.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, so the principles apply for everyone. But it's about connecting with self first.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like that.
And if you have somebody that's outsourcing, let's say in open relationships, right? That's the fun part, because we get to dive into why. Why does your brain work that you feel like you need multiple of something, right? Or why did you cheat? Or why do you outsource to porn? Why do you outsource to all these things? Because that outsource is a coping mechanism for something that you're insecure about.
Yeah.
Something that happened with you,
yeah.
Right? So that's what we... That's when we dive into the more spiritual realm and kind of tap into self and help that way.
Do you work with relationships within the family unit?
Mm-hmm.
So like kids and their parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had some clients just recently where they finished some of their sessions and then they were like, we want you to talk to our girls. Their situation was a little bit different. They actually decided to separate. And it was probably the best thing for them in the scenario that they were in, and kind of go their separate ways. But in that circumstance, they were like, we need someone to talk to our girls throughout this, you know, transition. So we had the opportunity to talk to their daughters, and it was like some of the coolest conversations we've ever had, because we just treated those coaching sessions just like we would if it were you sitting across from us, you know, even though they were 10 and 12.
Yeah.
It was so cool to sit and talk to them about what was going on in their world with their parents' divorce and teaching them how to communicate with mom and dad and actually get exactly what they were wanting out of the situation, and realizing that, you know, they're perfect and that none of it was their fault. And even though they had all these feelings, you know, how to talk to mom and dad about it. And then also talking to mom and dad, bringing mom and dad into sessions with them, where we created kind of this safe space to say, hey, let's have these conversations. Let's heal the family. You know, even though this is a situation where, you know, mom and dad are separating, you guys are still a family unit. You still, you know, you have kids together. We've got a co-parent. We've got to do all this. It's still a relationship. And so let's figure out how to make it all work so that everybody's, you know, getting exactly what they're wanting. And that was like one of the coolest things for us, was talking to those guys.
Hmm. And so, the reason that we can do that is because we base everything off of emotion. And this is a different conversation, maybe for a different day, but We truthfully believe that if you can address your emotions and understand what they are and how you're using them, especially as a kid, right, then you can understand yourself and your relationship to everybody else.
So I have two asks. The mm-hmm. first, I have two buddies. One is in the group with us.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to pay for you guys to work with them because they have a disconnect. One is with the mom. One is with both sets of parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a need. Just observing them, I think it's a need that they,
yeah,
they have. And I can connect with you guys later this week. The other thing, and this doesn't have to be now, but I'd love to sit down with two of you. So I was adopted when I was 3 weeks old. I've never met my birth mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I reached out to her a month ago and said, hey, I want to come out to Maryland and meet you.
Yeah.
But when I do it, it's going to be a podcast episode. I don't want to edit, filter anything.
Wow. Yeah, that's super cool.
We're just going to sit down. Cameras are going to roll. I'm flying my parents with me.
Okay.
I planned it around. One of the things Jimmy told me was, don't make that the only purpose of your trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my brother is a huge Eagles fan.
I love the Eagles.
So hey, maybe you two should just kind of.
I love the Eagles. So my family's a huge Eagles fan.
So the Eagles play the Ravens in November.
Wow.
So I'm going to fly us out. We're going to go to the game.
Oh my gosh.
And we're going to meet because she's maybe 45 minutes from the stadium.
Wow.
So I said that will be part of the trip, but the main reason is go to the game and watch that and that experience. But I'd love to talk to you two through that process of, because I'm like going through my head, I'm like, what questions do you ask? Where, you know, where do you start? I mean, what do you call? Like, I'm not going to say mom, but how do you walk through that? But also, it'll be the first time to meet my birth siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't even know I was born. So it's a whole
thing.
Can of worms. And I'm like, I better, you know, I even told my parents, I'm like, do you guys need therapy going into this? Because it's just, like, this just opens more doors than, and you know, when I told my parents, they're for it, they're excited, everything. And so talking about it now, like, I'm ready, I can go do it, but I know leading up to it, it's going to be like,
that's scary.
Gonna be difficult. Yeah.
Why now though?
So I have had some issues. So do you know what trigger finger is?
Hmm.
So it's when you work in a factory and the vibrations of using the machines, it damages your fingers.
Hmm. Okay.
So I have had, give me 1 second.
You're good.
I have had some medical issues and the doctor said it's genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a thing in my hand where the tendon, if you see this finger.
Yeah, I saw the one with this.
It's stuck like that.
Yeah.
So the tendon is here and I can get it worked on and they can straighten it and fix it. But because it's genetic, it will just constantly keep happening. And so when I got that looked at, and this hand had some issues attendant here, so I've had to have some work done, I started thinking, I'm like, well, what else runs in my family?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I want to know my medical history, what to avoid, what's happening. So that's kind of what started with the, I better sit down and have that conversation. Then I'm like, well, this needs to be a bigger conversation than just that. So that's kind of what developed it and got it started for that. And then joined Watt and we do full send on everything, apparently. So that's kind of the...
That's amazing.
What's happening?
Were you able to find her or who helped you find her?
So my mom found her when I was on my mission.
Yeah.
Just connected on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my mom was excited. Here's his Facebook and his phone number. And so she tried to call me. I didn't answer. So we've only talked on Facebook a few times.
Yeah.
Never answered a phone call. But and she comments on most things. And so she's followed forever. And finally, I was like, it's time to do it.
Yeah.
Because my biggest fear was something happened. She's no longer around. Also, I know nothing about my birth dad. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I just want to know information and everything. And so it's been, you know, maybe 3 years ago, I probably wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm at the point where I'm like, it's time to do it. Time to be a big boy, and you know,
because even that, like, that correlates with the your relationship with your partner right now, right? Truthfully, like, we're striving for that connection with another person. So what scares you about meeting your birth mom?
It's a door once I open you can never shut.
Okay.
You know, I grew up in a different situation. My parents are older. Mm-hmm. My dad's 75. He was mainly retired at when he adopted us.
Right.
We've traveled the world. The status to what I would have grown up versus what I lived, completely different. Like, I tell people I lived in Africa, but the side they don't know is we had chefs and drivers and security and maids. And it was like, you know, this gated mansion, and it wasn't just Africa.
Yeah.
So just the way of life is different versus to what they've lived. Religious beliefs are different.
Right.
And so my biggest thing is, like, once I go meet them, I can't just say, I want nothing to do with you guys.
Right.
But then it's the other thing is, my biggest fear has always been is, you meet them and then you get the thing, hey, can you help us with money?
Mm-hmm.
It's my other big fear.
Right.
And so that's kind of where the fear is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at peace. I mean, I'm a crazy person. I bought my burial plots. My will is done.
Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm ready. If I die tomorrow, I'm ready. I have a letter to all of my family ready to go.
Wow.
So kind of the way I've crafted my life in the last few years, I'm ready to take the steps to meet and to reach out and extend because I'm at peace with myself within my life. I went and hired, you know, human behavior specialists. I have a nurse, my personal trainer, my nutrition coach, my spiritual coach. I kind of built my dream team around me.
Yeah.
So with that support, and then Watt was kind of that last piece. And now that I have that dream team, I'm like, I can take on anything.
I got this, yeah.
Because I have that to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got 49 dudes I can text, call, anything.
Yeah.
And so it's just time.
Right.
You know, Jimmy and I walked through it and talked about it and everything. And the way I've built out the experience to go and do it, I'm ready.
Interesting. So this is where this would be personal, but this is where I want you to look at the relationship that you have. What's her name, the 59-year-old girlfriend?
Oh, no, she's out of the picture.
Oh, she's out of the picture.
My current one, yeah. Her name is Shanae.
Shanae.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is where I want you to look at this relationship and how it can help you in this scenario right now.
Okay.
Because even all these coaches that you've hired and the experiences that you've been through, right? Let's strip all those away. Can we still face mom now? Right?
Now?
Without all of that support.
If I hadn't had it or?
If you don't have it now. That's a little bit more difficult to look at, right?
Yeah.
Right. But now with Shanae next to you, being your safe space, being home, that's a little bit different. It's a different feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These people all have your back. These people can all build you up, right? But when shit gets hard, like, I have to go meet my birth mother, and this woman that is the direct reflection of that same type of entity for me, how are you going to help me? And can you be my safe space in this? And the answer is always, always yes.
Yes.
Right?
See, and I think the other side, and it's what I saw when I lived in Africa, is when people see me, they see a black person, but I wasn't raised that way.
Nope.
So there's a complete disconnect
right
there. When we lived in Africa, I spent all my time with the white kids because we had the Xbox 360 and the same, you know, all the habits we had were the same,
right.
You know, until I learned the languages, I never connected to them. Now I can go back. I speak multiple languages. I can, you know, fit in with any group and pivot and change whatever I need to.
Yeah.
But it's also that aspect of going into the black community in Maryland and not being raised in it.
Yeah.
Just a whole different terms of language and lingo, just everything that way.
Right.
I don't know.
So you talk
maybe
about...
Maybe I need to fly you to it. Maybe
I have to say this to you, and this is so weird, and it's not going to leave my head until I say something, but, like, I just want you to think about when you were at the age 7 and what comes up for you and what, like, where you were at and what you were doing and the thoughts and stuff, but, like, that age for me with you won't leave my head, and it's like, just say, tell him to think of age 7, and I'm like, go away. No, we're not talking about that right now. So just think about that. I don't know why, but it's really bugging me that it won't go out of my head.
So age 7 was the first time we ever moved to Africa.
Okay.
My dad came home and told my mom, hey, I want to go do humanitarian work. Packed up our whole family and went to Africa.
And how did that impact you as a kid?
New culture, new school, new way of life.
Was it the first time that you felt like, I mean, like, you're Black, you were raised by white
people? First time to be around other Black kids.
Other Black kids,
okay, yeah. But were they in the same, like, you just sat and told me that you hung out with the white kids when you were in Africa. So was there a disconnect with you seeing people of your same race that were maybe more in poverty, and then you were over here?
So, like, the Black kids we hung out with was, like, the maid's son.
Okay.
Or the gardener's son. Okay. Or it wasn't, like, the kid down the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is there I'm going to ask you, this is so personal.
Yeah.
You dig as deep. This is what we do.
Do you have a belief that, like, you aren't worthy of the success that you have because of your race?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say yes and no.
Okay.
I would have to say, in a way, yes.
Okay.
Because within the space I'm in, there's not a lot of people that look like me.
Yeah.
Right.
But I've had to hack the system to benefit me.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
So when I travel with any of the influencers, the first, when people first look at me, they assume I'm the bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So in getting that so many times, I now carry a fake earpiece when I travel. And I'm like, well, if they're going to say it, I might as well just use it to my advantage.
Hmm.
And so there's a lot of stuff like that that I've just used. It's why I ran a gym for 9 years. I never wanted to get into personal training. But there were some parents who were like, oh, he's Black. He works out. He must know what he's doing. And they just brought their kids to me. Mm-hmm. And it just continued. And for 8 years, I never once, what sports did you play? What search do you have? They would just look and send, and they would pay crazy amounts of money. So I've always just taken these things that people assume or look at and just use it to benefit me or to apply it into business.
I love that.
But it is a hard space to work at, because I do, within the wealthy class, there is still a way that they view people of color. And I hear it, and I, like, we have one of my bosses has a statue of a monkey. It was like $10,000, super valuable. Mm-hmm. But his first reaction when he saw it was, guys, this looks too much like a Black person.
Yeah.
So there's always these little jabs and things, but I've learned to, in my job, to tune it out. But then I find myself in rooms, you know, with some of the highest level of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to balance out that, hey, I'm meant to be here. I used to, you know, feel super awkward in these rooms, and now I can go talk to anybody.
Right.
I can call people on the phone. It's hard to.
But if you had to take, like, all of that away, like, let's say you didn't have the social status that you have, you didn't have, like, this, like, persona that you have to live up to, right? And if you get down to how that actually makes you feel, cameras off, it's just us.
The cameras can be on. We're
on. I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
How does it really make you feel? Because you just said, I had to kind of push it down. I have to kind of push it away. Like, how does it make you feel?
You know, up until, I think I shared it with Matt. I think I shared it with both of these guys. Up until a few days ago, I finally had this, like, aha moment where, like, I had been living with this mask, and here's the way that society believes I need to act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look in my car, I got a fake pair of glasses. Like, I can become white instantly. Like, voice changes, outfit changes, okay. Glasses go on. And the way I carried myself and the way I dressed. And there was all these things that I was doing to fit in with society. And finally, I realized, like, I can just be myself. There's no need or reason to do that. And that, you know, once I realized that, and then I actually, you know, spoke about it, it was like a weight was lifted.
Yeah.
And I'm just Jeff. And I, you know, my biggest thing has been, people are going to love me, they're going to hate me, and have a notion where, you know, I don't care. Because I used to focus so much on what other people would think or say. And I just have learned that they're going to talk. And it doesn't matter.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah.
How'd you come to that, though?
So, you know what's crazy? It wouldn't have happened if I didn't take that shot in the dark and drive across the country with Chance.
Yeah.
It started obviously he's from a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his buddies called him and he didn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't you answer? He's like, I can't. But he clicked play on the car and accident played the guy's voicemail. And the dude like dropped the N-word and did different things. And so the next 45 minutes was the most awkward car ride of my life.
Okay.
Because he was uncomfortable. He was looking forward, wouldn't say a word to me.
Right.
Just a level of embarrassment and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got there, you can record this, but I won't play this. when we got there, the first day he's like, hey, I'm going to dinner with this girl. And so just left me at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to dinner. And then he went to another dinner after with his friends. And he said, hey, will you drive my car home? I'm going with my buddy to talk this. And I was like, this is super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Place you've never been. The parents don't know you. You're just sitting there. And so I got home and he came back and we talked from 11 to 1 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
just to peel back the layers. And what he said to me was, we rode in the car for 19 hours and our conversation was surface level.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, rather than say, talk about who this friend was and what he's gone through and everything, he didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat and we talked and we were peeling back the layers and going back and forth. And he opened up on, well, here's the side of me and here's helped me to understand some things and why he was isolating and different things. And then I started thinking, okay, well, where am I not living my truth and different things? And it just boom, 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 good. Boom, 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 back and forth. And then we said a prayer, went to bed. The next day, I went to his church.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time, the message was about these people who had wrestled through the night and had this conflict. And everything was just clicking.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, I'm on to something. I was just mm-hmm. completely opened up. And then I knew I finally had spoken into existence, because the next day, the same people that we saw, complete open conversations.
Very cool.
Just night and day different from the night before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'll read that same kid who had called and said the N-word, we went to lunch. He actually ended up paying my lunch. But he said, I'm willing to become a better version of myself. I appreciate taking time out of your life to get mine on track. And then I told the kid, I said, there's a entrepreneur event in September in Florida. And I told him, look, you get your life on track and everything.
Yeah.
I'll cover your tickets. I'll bring you out to the event. But it was just, I think, the change of that and that conversation. Because the other thing is, we had to talk through this because I was stuck.
Yeah.
So we were 2 hours outside of St. Louis. There's no Ubers. There's nothing.
Right.
And so it's like, either talk through this,
mm-hmm.
or what do you do? And so, yeah, I think. And so I'm like, that is the whole reason I went on this stupid trip,
mm-hmm.
was to get here and to be able to open up my mind and my eyes. And then it was like, aha.
Wow.
And so it's been
very, very cool.
And I finally told my dad, I said, I am so tired of crying. It's the last 3 weeks, it's been non-stop.
Yeah. There's one thing about emoting, right? We will never stop anybody from crying, because it is the most beautiful expression of what your inner self actually needs, right?
Well, I know that, but see, I don't.
I know.
That's a big no-no for me.
See.
Huge no-no.
And it is for most male figures and anybody that's in a masculine role, right? Because anytime that we step into a feminine energy, which is emotion, that makes us uncomfortable, right? But the fact that you are doing it is an expression that your body needs, right? So even your hands,
yeah.
right? And anything that's tense in your body, every time that you emote, scream, shout, cry, whatever it is, right? Your body actually releases.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful thing that's actually healing from inside out, right? But what Lauren said was actually super inspired for your life. And going back to the 7-year-old version of Jeff, because that 7-year-old version is actually manifesting himself right now in this 31-year-old body, right? Because what's happening, and this is what we actually call, this is what we actually call inner child work, right? And there's people that do it a different way. But what this relationship with your mom is pulling out of you is saying, there was a time in my life when I went to Africa that I felt this exact same way.
And now I'm getting to do this again, going back to this Black community, going back, meeting my birth mother, and pulling all of these things out just so we can get healed, right? So I believe that, I mean, this is divinely timed, because you're truthfully going at a time where you have the support, even though we want to peel that back, right?
Uh-huh.
You have the support, and you've got the knowledge to go into this, to say, hey, buddy, at 7 years old, I got you. Because the only version or the only person that can heal the past versions of you is you right now.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too with you is, like, you've mentioned that money, like them asking for money is a fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm like connecting dots or I'm trying to follow the very little I know that you've told us, is like that 7-year-old version of you that went to Africa and you're like, we had the Xbox and we had all these things, right? You were providing a sense of like, hey, let me help you. And I mean, you've done it to us, like, as generous as it is. And you're like, let me give you. But it's like, do you know how to receive? Like, have you ever really sat back and like received that? Like, you don't have to give anything for people to like
to love
you and want to be around you and be in your presence. And just like that your presence alone is worth everything. Like, it makes me emotional, like thinking about it, because it really is. Like, I think I have come, like, I have a similarity to you in that, where it's like, let me show you, let me prove to you that I'm worth you being around, right? Let me give, let me pay for this, let me, you know, get this next award. And all I know is that when I lived that kind of life, my life, the second that I reached like the highest pinnacle of what I thought was success, my whole life crashed completely down on me. And so it's like, take a second and be like, okay, Jeff, like, receive that love. And maybe that's what your current partner does for you. Maybe that's what she gives you, that reflection of like, you could strip everything away.
Perfect.
And she loves you exactly how you are. No, we take race out of it. We take money out of it. We take all of that. Like, who are you? Do you know what I mean? You said, like, I'm Jeff. And I'm like, I love that. Because that's who you are. You know what I mean? Like, take all the accolades away, take everything else. And that's who you are. But you don't have to like continually prove your worth to everybody. You don't.
That's crazy that you said that, because the night before we had the talk, he invited like 15 of his friends, parents, everyone to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid for the dinner for everyone.
Yeah.
But it's because I could tell things were so awkward. And I'm like, maybe this will
help ease that tension.
Things,
whatever,
and it did nothing. Interesting.
Yeah.
But that like is heavy. Like, my heart hurts right now.
That's okay.
But it does. It's not okay. Because it's like this whole thing. And I think leading up into like meeting your mom, it's going to be this like, let me prove to you. Because we have wounds there.
Mm-hmm.
We do. I mean, like, she was your birth mom. And
yeah.
And you have a mom.
Yeah.
But like, she was your birth mom. And you're going to go back and meet her. And there's so many questions that come up with that. Like, I'm a mom, right? Yeah. I can only imagine the questions that my son would have for me. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I'd be capable of answering those.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know, like, it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot for you. And I don't want you to go in there being like, let me do this hat trick and oh my gosh, I'm freaking amazing. Because you are. Like, you don't need to prove anything to them. You don't.
Yeah.
And I can validate the shit out of you sitting here. But until you believe that,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.